everybody. We all ought to be able to help everybody a little bit if they listen. Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? Some people I can help more, all right? But it ought to be my concern about another's welfare. Love is that act of one person seeking, and I think that's the key, is the act of one person seeking the highest good. Not wanting the highest good, but seeking the highest good. And now this is us as a church. This is us as a family. This is us as a brethren. This is us together. We ought to be seeking the highest good for another person. I still believe if we could all concentrate with empathy and sympathy on a lost person, I believe that there would be enough power in prayer that it would shake the very foundation where they live if we could do it. But we can't agree enough. We agree, yeah, we ought to do it, but then to commit or to fast for a week. If everybody in the church would fast for a whole week and pray 8 hours a day for one prayer, if we could do that, if we go that far, would we be willing to go that far for a soul? What if we did? Would it make a difference? I believe things would make differences. But I'm just telling you, we ought to be seeking the highest good for another person. Everybody all right? Are we okay, Clark? All right. Now look, we've looked at all these things. There's a lot of love in the Bible, all right? Love for a sinner, love for his children, our love for God. Loving our enemies, huh? Ain't you glad that's all past? Huh? But you know what I found? That it was easier for me to preach on loving our enemies than it is to love one another? Does that not seem ironic? Huh? That we can love our enemies better than we can love one another? Wow. Huh? And now we're going to look at something else. We've been looking at love so much, and I hope you're not getting tired of love. Surely, is anybody getting tired of love? Valentine's Day's coming up. We've been looking at love, and we've seen it's a heart thing. Love ain't a brain thing. Love's the heart thing. All right? And if our heart's right, our love will be right. And this truth never changes, right? Now love is great. Anybody, can y'all at least scotch me here? How many think love is great? Huh? How many think love is beautiful? Ain't it though? Ain't it?
Amen. Yes, amen.
But what about bad love? Do you know there's bad love? There's bad love. And tonight, I want to look at bad love for just a moment. I want to look at bad love. Now, you wouldn't think there would be bad love, but there is bad love tonight. 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. All right, so we see there is a bad love, and I believe we can see that love in the world. All right, when we say things are bad for you, we usually mean unhealthy. All right, right? We say something bad for you, it's unhealthy. Is that not right? Huh? So we, for an example, all right, they harm you permanently, like cigarettes. They're bad. They're bad for you. You might like them, but they're still bad for you. All right? It causes lung disease. It causes age quicker. It causes wrinkles, and you stink. Okay? All right? I mean, that's just the truth. That's just an example. All right? I mean, you do it if you want to. It's your business, but I'm just telling you it's bad for you, and all them things are true. All right? And then alcohol is bad for you. It causes liver disease. It causes poverty. It causes separation from children, separation from spouses. It causes separation from jobs. It'll cause separation from church. It'll cause separation in every fact of life. It does that, okay? And that's just the way it is. And so on. That's an example, all right, of unhealthy things, okay? Now, what we're going to term is we're going to look at unhealthy. We're going to use that word through the message about things that are unhealthy or bad for you, that leaves a lasting effect. Okay? Bad love is unhealthy. It can cause permanent damage to one's life. Bad love can cause permanent damage to your life. Think about it. It will. Now, bad love causes unhealthy living habits. All right, we'll start there, okay? It causes unhealthy living habits. Now, the bad thing about bad love is that it spreads because it's so unhealthy. It'll spread to my spouse. It'll spread to my children. It'll spread to my grandchildren. It'll spread then to those closest to me, my friends. It'll spread, it can spread to a church, all right, because it's so unhealthy. I started to put unsanitary, but I didn't think that would be quite right. But unhealthy is what I want us to think about, unhealthy. It's bad for me, all right? 1 John 2:15 says, we're going to read it again. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, all right? For all that is in the world. Now, we're not talking about steak and mashed potatoes and fishing and hunting. That ain't what we're talking about. There are things in the world. But what the world, the concept, what the enemy has out there, the world system, the worldly things that are unchristian, ungodly, things that take us away from God, these things, that's what we're talking about, the world and the things that are in the world. And men, mankind, not just men, but mankind loves these things. All right? We love these things. But then it says, if any man love the world, though, the love of the Father is not in him. And the reason it says that is because you can't love both. You can't love the world and love God. It don't work. You're going to love one or the other because you're going to serve one or the other, and you're going to serve who you love. And the Bible says you're not going to serve God and mammon. Okay? We still okay? Now, for all that's in the world, now what is in the world? Well, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, it says it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. So the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, that's what we're talking about, for what's in the world. Now, there's other things that's godly that is not lust of the flesh or lust of the eyes or pride of life. But when we find ourselves leaning that way, then we ought to automatically see that it's the wrong kind. It's bad love. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Now, let's look at an example. The enemy, Satan, uses the world. Now, I had to put Satan in the middle of a sentence because the computer kept wanting me to capitalize it, and I refuse to capitalize Satan. I refuse to do it. You know? And if I have you ever see it out there and the S ain't on it, it's just because I wouldn't capitalize it, okay? And it wouldn't let me do it. But I refuse to do that. But the enemy, Satan, uses the world system, if you would, to tempt us. And he uses everything he can to destroy us. And you remember, he's not on our side. The dark, the satanic, the demonic that we dabble in is not for us. It's against us. The things we allow in our heart and our mind that are demonic, and you say, "Well, I'm not led by demonic." Well, if the Lord don't lead you, then who does? You know, we went over this before. Who leads you to talk about somebody? Not the Holy Ghost. Demonic activity. Who leads you to put God way down on priority list? The Lord? No. The enemy. So we all come in contact with demonic influence. We just don't like to admit it. But look what he did to Eve. Look what the enemy did to Eve now. Let's look. The enemy, Satan, brought doubt to the word of God. All right? And he tries to get us to question in our mind the word of God and the ways of God. Because whether we like to admit it or not, we'll read things in this Bible and say, "Well, I don't think that's not fair." And then we'll say, "Well, that don't apply to me today." Or then we say, "Well, but I don't have a choice." I mean, there's all kinds of things we'll say, and the enemy is calling us to doubt that this is truth, this is the standard, it is the Word of God, it is kept, it is preserved, it is sent by God, and it is the final authority. It is the only authority. Okay? Now, look here at what he said in Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He started questioning her, and immediately when she answered him back, she didn't give it back exactly the way God had given it, because there was a question. If he hadn't questioned it, she could have quoted what God said. But because he questioned it, she misquoted it. We okay? Does everybody understand where I'm at? Now, and he does us the same way. He makes us doubt, question. Does it mean that? Is that for us? Think about it. Now look, 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Now keep them three things in your mind, can you? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now look. Look what Satan did here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. All three things that the Bible says is of the world is all three in that one verse when the Satan talked to Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. He started in the garden when they weren't but two people, and he's going to use the same tricks on us if he can at all, and with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Do you see that plainly? Now, and we say, well, he don't tempt me like that. Well, then you're better than Jesus. Because he tempted Jesus the exact same way. All right? Now, the enemy came to Jesus, tempt him the same way, Matthew 4:3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Why did he ask that? Because Jesus had just fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the first thing he tempted him with was the lust of the flesh. Just like it says there in 1 John chapter 2. The lust of the flesh. All right? Matthew 4:6 then says, and he said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Trying to build up pride in Christ's mind here. Lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. There was the pride of life. All right? Now, and I know that's not the same order. There's one, but that don't make it not right. All right, because then again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, the lust of the eyes. The same three things that he said to Eve, the same three things he said to Jesus, and John says the same three things in John chapter 2, for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is of the world, it's not of God. Everybody follow me there? Now that I can't make it no simpler than that. That's three examples. Does everybody understand that? Now, once the world takes over in one of these areas, we then start noticing things. We'll sense and see a loss of enjoyment of God's love. We'll start seeing a loss of desire to do God's will. All right? We'll have a loss of desire for God's word. It becomes boring and hard to read. Let me ask you, was there ever a time that your Bible was exciting to you? Now it's become boring and hard to read? Think of that. There's something working. Okay? Think about this. A loss of prayer. It don't mean we quit praying. It becomes hard to pray or find time. Let me ask you this. Do not answer, but let me ask you, are you finding it hard to find time to pray. To pray as much as you did, as long as you did. Are you having a harder time finding the time because of scheduling and stuff? Huh? Think about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life. Think about what's going on in your life. We still okay? Loss of desire for Christian fellowship. When a love for the world starts gaining, our love for the things of God starts diminishing. When the love of things of God starts diminishing, then we naturally, the first thing we stop really is the Word of God and prayer. But then we start slacking off for fellowship, because fellowship reminds me of my lack of prayer and Bible reading. So to avoid the conviction of Bible reading and prayer, then I just won't go. Okay, you follow me? All because of a Christian's worldly heart. That's what it is. And it's bad love. It's bad love. All right? Now, bad love promotes unhealthy entertainment. Not only does it promote unhealthy lifestyles, but it promotes unhealthy entertainment. And it's got its course. All right? We start loving the world. Then it starts changing our lifestyle habits. Then our entertainment is sought after in the world. And we've brought that into the church, that we want entertained in the devotion at time so we can tolerate the preaching. And the entertainment has to be maxed out continually. It's like a doper. He gets high, and then after he does that for a while, he's got to get something else to make it a little bit higher, and then a little bit more and make it a little bit higher, and you got to increase. And now what we've seen become in churches is black walls, strobe lights, smoke, half-dressed entertainers, singing God only knows what because you can't understand. And now it's entertainment. And people are saying, what a good time we have, as they jump and jive with their hands up. And the Bible's never opened. Exactly right. But it didn't just start that way. Because we wouldn't accept it that way. We would never accept it all at one time. We said, no, we don't believe that. But we can let it ease in. It's like the old frog we always talk about, you know. Put him in a pot of boiling water, he'll jump out right now. But put him in a pot of cold water and set him on the eye of the stove, and you can boil him to death and he'll sit right there and let it. Huh? And that's the way we are anymore, because of loving the world, because of having bad love. Bad love promotes unhealthy entertainment. Now this is where you're going to get mad. I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to get mad, some of you kids I ain't going to listen, but I want all you kids to listen. All right? Some of you parents, I hope you don't get mad, but it won't shock me if anybody gets mad. All right? And I'm not trying to offend you. All right? I'm not trying to offend you, but I'm going to tell you some plain things tonight. Okay? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now I'm going to list some things that brings demonic influence. These things are common in the church. They're common in our church. They're common in the life of the believer. And I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to argue about them. All right? I'm not even going to meet with you privately in my office about them. I'm not going to argue about them, period. Okay, just so you'll know. I see the result of what I'm going to show you. I'll deal with the result of what I'm going to show you. I see the damage of what I'm going to show you. And many times I'm called on to fix the problem that they cause, but I can't. The internet has brought things into our home we would have threw a fit over had it tried to come in alone. We've enabled our kids and ourselves also to watch pornography, not just pictures, but actual videos. This breaks up homes. This causes lasciviousness, lust, underage sexual activity. And I hope nobody in here is so naive that thinks your little darlings don't do this. Because if they are, they're the only ones that don't. Cell phones loaded with everything. Now, instead of hiding in our rooms with filth of the world, we carry it with us to view at all times, at our leisure. Right? And parents have made sure the children have every opportunity to indulge in sin. Nude pictures are sent to one another. Private accounts now on social media are available that your teenagers can sell pictures of themselves and make money on the side that you don't know nothing about. They sell pictures of themselves nude. They sell pictures of themselves in their underwear or in their bed clothes or in their swimming wear, which is all pert near naked. And they set up private accounts. If you don't believe there's private accounts, you need to check your children's phones or private accounts. I'm not telling you speculation. I'm telling you Mountain State Baptist Church and any other church that'll listen. Our youth choir. Our youth camp. Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, WeChat, TikTok, Messenger, Snapchat, Telegram, Pinterest, X, which was formerly Twitter, Reddit, how you say it, Taiba, or how you say that, and LinkedIn. I found 28 social media places you could go to, but these are some of the most popular. All right? Listen. 62.3% of the world population are on some type of social media. TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat are the most popular in teens, or so I've read. Now, private accounts can be set up, as I said a while ago, for pornography to make money. Now, some is not total nude, as I said there a while ago, but they are underwear and swimwear. And your teenage kids has this on their phones. Okay? But that's okay. You've welcomed it in as parents. How many social media users are under 18? Surveys show that 90% of teens ages 13 to 17 have used social media. 75% report having at least one active social media profile. At least one active social media profile. Do you know that you can make as many profiles as you want on these things? You can have as many Snapchat accounts, TikTok accounts, Facebook accounts. You can have all kinds of them. And you just change your name, change your picture. It don't even have to be a picture of you. Did you know that? It can be a picture of an animal or something else, but it links to you. You change a number, you change a letter, you change a dot. And you can have many. And you can show one when mom and dad wants to look and say, see, mine's clear, and it'll have everything good on it. But then you go to your private one that you've changed, and it'll be the most ungodly filth that you ever thought of seeing. Two-thirds of teens have their own mobile devices with internet capabilities. Interesting. These countries have full bans on TikTok. Afghanistan, India, Iran, Kyrgyzstan, Nepal, Somalia. Most Muslim countries outlaw porn, but not our great Christian country of the United States. We promote it. Huh? Why would a Muslim, you know why a Muslim country outlaws that? Y'all know why? Anybody here know why? Because it's against their religion. And we're Christians. But it's not against our religion. Well, yeah, it is. Huh? Is that not something? That it's illegal. What teens you Snapchat for? Well, for single girls. No, I just read it. I didn't go around asking all the girls in here. But this is what Google said, and Brother Rick said, if Google said it, it's right. Huh? Snapchat's a great resource. You know what it allows? It allows the girls to browse through Snapchat profiles of other singles or communicate with potential dating prospects in a fun, unique way. Well, that sounds Christian. Another benefit to using Snapchat, you see them next one, is secret communication with people your partner is not aware of or your parents or anybody else. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, after you send a Snapchat, it disappears. After you send a Snapchat, it disappears. So you can send a dirty picture, a dirty message. You can cuss somebody out. You can flash them. You can do anything. And after they view it, it's done. It's gone. But our darlings don't do that. For teen boys, Snapchat, they want to see you, girls. Huh? One of the main reasons why guys prefer Snapchat is that they want to see you. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They want to see you. That's why they communicate on Snapchat, so they can see you or whatever you'll show them. Are we understanding? The second reason is more fun. Snapchat is more exciting than text messages. Because with Snapchat, you can send pictures or videos that have filters or lenses or all kinds of stuff. It's okay. Don't bother me. It's more private. Now, I can't say this second word here. Snapchat's informal nature gives users a sense of privacy since the pictures or videos disappear after they have been viewed. Now, if I was to ask, do not raise your hand, but if I was to ask how many teenagers here, let's say from 10 to 18, are allowed to have Snapchat. I'm sure there's some. Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, all these things. Now, you say, what was the message now? The message was unhealthy entertainment. Worldly music, not only the internet, but worldly music that promotes sex, alcohol, adultery, homosexuality, drugs, suicide, rebellion against authority, and that's country, rock, pop, even some contemporary gospel. I mean, everybody's free to listen to what they want to. I'm just telling you, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love these things, the love of God not in you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I got to say about it. I'm just saying what the Bible said. Now, if you think you can be spiritual and listen to country music, then go ahead. You're just not going to find it in the Bible. If you think you can be spiritual, listen to rock and roll. It ain't going to happen. You think you can be spiritual, listen to pop and all. It ain't going to happen. And if you don't agree, that's fine. I'm just telling you, it ain't going to happen. Now, you may put on a show. You may get emotional. But you won't be spiritual. Television programs promote personal homosexuality, family homosexuality, drinking, gambling, adultery, rebellion, promote sex in teens, in the unmarried, people living together, shacked up. We pay for it. We pay big cable bills. We bring it into our homes. We teach our children to love it. And then we say, well, we'll just watch sports. So we watch wrestling and we watch all the naked girls as they do all the stuff in the ring. And then we have the boxing and we got the naked ring girls that come around and do that. Or they're pretty near naked. And we got the basketball. Of course, we're not going to say nothing bad about basketball. We're just going to brag on how many sexual experiences that Will Chamberlain had. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most sexual experiences. We're not going to tell all that. You know, we're not going to look at all that because that's basketball. Baseball, golf. Now they got, you can't even watch golf for watching girls that ain't hardly got no clothes on doing commercials and stuff. And they got all their everything hanging out and you can't even watch golf. I'm just talking about unhealthy entertainment. That's all I'm saying. Now, is there anything wrong with wrestling? No. Anything wrong with boxing? I didn't say none of that. I didn't say nothing was wrong with them. I said what we're watching to watch it. What we're putting in our mind to watch it. What we're having in view to see it. Huh? I love boxing. But I don't know when to hide my eyes. Yeah. You know, you got all that wrestling, that $1 million wrestling, you know, and it, you know, well, you know, it's fake. I'm sure they're good athletes because they pick in fellas up. You pick a 300-pound man up, you're a pretty stout guy. You know. But that's okay, but why do they have to have all the naked women running around there, putting her naked? I don't know about you. How many of you men want to have your wife put on their underwear and go to Walmart? Would any of you men allow that? Then why do we watch it, though? Somebody else's woman is doing it. Now, them are just ideas. I don't know. I'm a dinosaur. I'm old-fashioned. Worldly entertainment has dictated how we dress in the world, at school, at church, at the beach, at Walmart. Huh? And can I ask dads, I'm going to ask you, I wrote this down, I didn't want to forget it. Have you ever looked, has dads looked at how short the prom dresses are and the homecoming dresses? Did you know that my coat, no exaggeration, is as long as some of the dresses that Cheryl showed me that was on Facebook that they publicized. Now, I don't understand dads. Now, I'm going to make you mad. I'm not trying to, but if you can't run your home no better than that. Yeah, amen. I know it ain't none of my business, but is that really okay? Let me ask you men. How many men we got in here? I'm talking about how many good, hot-blooded American men. If you're a hot-blooded American man, hold your hand up. All right? When you was in school, and they'd be a girl come by you dressed like that, would you want to read scripture? Or would you want to go out back in the dark? I wouldn't want to read scripture. I don't care if I had a Bible in my hand. And these boys ain't no different. They may not understand right now. But you give them just a little bit here. A little bit of time. And their voice starts changing. And they start happening when they talk to you. And then they, Katie bar the door. They become us, men. They become us. We let the world run our lives, yet we say we're Christian. Our heroes are not Christian martyrs or Christian giants, but our heroes are adulterers and drunks and drug addicts and lesbians and homosexuals. From Hollywood to the music industry to the athletic arena, that's who our people's heroes are. It's just bad love. It's bad love. Huh? Because of social media, I have dealt with hurt feelings, grudges, divorce, abuse, gossip, slander, all because of social media right back there in that office. And the reason was because of social media. Okay? But repentance is not sought after. The power of the church is taken away. We have no influence on the unsaved because the church, the believers love the world and the things in the world, and God will not bless it. My personal opinion, and I know this is a hypocritic statement, because we have the church on live stream, and it's on Facebook live stream. But I don't know that any Christian ought to be on live stream, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on TikTok, and all that stuff. Now you say, well, what if you do it right? Well, if you do it right, it's different. But can you look at a post and keep your mouth shut? Do you have to comment to offend somebody? Do you have to comment and let people know where I want people to know where I stand? Nah, that ain't why you do it. You do it to nick and gouge. We quit talking face to face. We started sending text. And do you know how many misrepresented things can be done in a text? You know, I'm ignorant. You know, I used to type everything in caps. And it's because I can see it better. I didn't know it made me holler at everybody. I didn't know that's what that meant. I just done it where I could see what I was typing. Do you know how many miscommunications they've been? How many people's been offended? And then they said, well, that ain't what I meant, but yeah, but it's what you said. And 100 million people saw it. And they all think the same thing I thought because that's what you said, but I didn't mean it. But we love the brethren. First Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. What it says. Bad love. That's what it is. Bad love brings unhealthy relationships. All right? Unhealthy lifestyle habits, unhealthy entertainment, and unhealthy relationships. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We learn our unhealthy relationships most usually from unhealthy entertainment. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? If saved and unsaved court or marry, where's the oneness? Now, I believe the Bible teaches that saved and lost people shouldn't court. They shouldn't marry. Huh? And I'll go as far as to say a different denomination shouldn't because of the conflict. In business, where's the unity? In marriage or courting, where's the unity? Where's the oneness that it's supposed to be? See, here's the thing. We quit courting and started dating. And we date, and it's like a multiple choice. And we date and date and date and date. And we get our example from the bachelor to bachelorette on their unhealthy entertainment. To where one man will have 27 girls come through. that are all partially clad, and he'll kiss all of them and hug on all of them and see how far he can go with them. Then he picks one, whichever one he liked the best, whichever one maybe their breath didn't stink or they used a better perfume or maybe they was built a little different, you know. I doubt it was because of their cooking skills or their, anything like that or their sewing technique, you know. And then they, and we're taught that that's how we get, and we, all the things are on looks, and we get our mate, we get our relationship by how they look, and then we're trained that if that don't work, it's okay, because we just go down here and get number three. And because number two wasn't no good, we get number three. We'll try them a little bit, and then we, and what we become is whores and whoremongers. It's what we become, and we're living in a church house trying to be with God, trying to walk with God, trying to have the power of God, and it don't work that way. God won't bless that.
Right,
but that's the way it is. Because we don't look to see how close we are with God. We don't look, a boy don't normally look to see how close the girl is with God. He wants to see, now I'm just telling you normally, not everywhere, maybe not here, but a normal boy really ain't interested in marriage when he's dating. He's interested in a romp in the hay. Right? And that ain't never going to change. I could go a long way there. I better stop. I don't want to be vulgar. But our business is the same. Not only in marriage and courting our home, but in our business. We're not supposed to be unequally yoked in business with an unbeliever. Now, I'm not talking about working for an unbeliever. I'm talking about being yoked in business together. Because there's no unity there. Now, the reason, because of different beliefs. Because of different priority. See, if Cheryl Ann wasn't saved and I'm courting her, then she's naturally going to have a different belief. She don't believe, I do. All right? Then if there's going to be a different priority. I want to put God first, you don't. So there's going to be conflict. So that means our home ain't going to be right. So for me to keep things going, I'm going to have to give. Because you're not going to give, you're an unbeliever. You're dead in your sin. So I'm going to have to give a little bit here to make our... So I'm going to have to be less of a Christian if hopes that you'll be a Christian. I've got to be less a Christian. I've got to be less a Christian business partner so you can be, hopefully, become a Christian. See, it don't work that way. Okay? We can't build up one another. We're supposed to build up one another. Encourage one another. I believe, that I don't know if I got it up here, I might have it. A proverb says that iron sharpeth iron. Right? That's not just for two guys being closed here. I mean, that's ought to be one for another, building up one another. I believe the Bible even says building up one another in our holy faith, even. Right? I think that's in the scripture. We still okay? You can't submit one to another. You know that if you were not saved, Cheryl, I couldn't really submit to you. It would be unbiblical. But if we're together, then the Bible says in Ephesians to submitting yourself one to another. But I can't do that if you're not saved because I'm submitting myself to an evil person. See. Prayers are already hindered. My relationship with my spouse, when we were courting, we didn't. We didn't live right when we was courting. We went to church. We was the biggest hypocrite ever was. Huh? You know, we love the Lord one minute, love one another the next. You know, I mean, it just things wasn't right. That's just the way it is. It's wrong. It was wrong then. It's wrong now. Okay, but listen to me. Our prayers are already hindered if you're not saved, because you can't pray. Is anybody catching any of this? Any of you young people catching any of this? God can't be first place in both our lives. If you're in a business relationship with somebody unsaved, and y'all's partners in business, and one's unsaved and one's saved, God can't be first place in the business. Bad love brings unhealthy relationships. Bad love. Now, may I ask this tonight? What are we going to do? And I'm not asking no one. In fact, I'm not even giving an invitation tonight. Right? But what are we going to do with all we've heard and read these past weeks? What do we do with it? Do we apply it? Do we accept it? Do we reject it? Do we put it into practice? Do we stop doing? Or do we start doing anything? I mean, I'm not wanting you to say anything. I'm just asking. What do we really desire? I mean, I'm preaching on love. See what you got to look forward to yet is loving our spouse and loving our church, and I mean, there's still messages coming. Okay? But what are we going to do with it? See, I didn't read no new scripture. It's all the scripture we've been reading for years. And we know these things. And I'm not being critical. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just asking, as a church, what's the preacher going to do? Am I just going to preach and go on? Or am I going to let it change me? Teddy Alderman has never prayed a prayer in this church that I'm aware of, that I remember anyway. Let's say that I recall that he didn't say, God, don't challenge me today. Change me. He said that just the same as Brother Butch has always said, and make us more like you. I always remember that about you, Teddy, always. Are we going to let the Word of God change us? If the Word of God truly changes, then there'll be a difference in our church. It'll show up. It'll show up because of the presence of God will be more real. Now, it may not show up on your smile. It may not show up on none of that, but it'll show up and it'll be able to tell on us by the presence of God being more real. I'm not preaching none of this to offend. I'm not preaching none of this because I've got a soapbox. I'm telling you the things that I've had to address in there in that office. If anybody thinks it's easy to preach what I preached tonight, it ain't. But I'm bound. Do you understand? I'm concerned over these mighty men. These young ladies in the church that sing and take part. I'm burdened and concerned about them. I want them to stay pure and have a good home. I want these boys to have a good home. I want them to have a good Christian wife. See, I can look at my life, and some of you will admit. Man, if I go back, I don't want. Cheryl, I try my best to tell the boys and teach the boys. Because I didn't want them to do like I'd done growing up. I've done my best. Because I know what I am. And us adults tonight know what we are, what we've been. We know where we've messed up. We can't go back and do it again. We can't go back and do it again. But oh, if we can influence these kids not to go the path we went. If we can influence these young men, huh? Yeah, I'm going to teach you to like girls. I will. Right? But at a distance. And I'll do my best to teach you girls to like boys. At a distance. But it ain't going to do no good for me to teach him if we all don't teach him. me preaching on sin and what's wrong may be good. But if it's not wrong down at the house, in mom and dad's authority, then it ain't going to matter what the preacher says. Father, you've got a wonderful word. Help us to live it. You told us we could. And Lord, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.